Welcome to the second episode of Becca and the Boys, brought to you by Ouachita Baptist University. I'm Becca Davis, and today I have with me the usuals, Carl Alloway and Marcellus Hill, but we also have a special guest. Welcome to the show, Shelton Woolley, punter for the Tigers.
Hey. Nice to have you, Shelton.
Hey, thanks you guys for having me. It's exciting to be on the show.
Okay. We're starting our first topic. The Spurs to retire Tim Duncan's number 21 jersey December 18th. He retired in July with 5 NBA titles, 2 NBA MVP awards, and 15 All-Star appearances. He was the third player in NBA history to win 1,000 career regular season games. Give me some thoughts on Tim Duncan.
Rightfully so. I mean, Tim Duncan's probably the greatest power forward to ever play the game.
Absolutely.
I don't see any, like, there's no disrespect there.
I have no thought needed.
No.
I mean, I can remember him playing back with Tony Parker back even when I was a kid and just dominating the game.
Exactly. The big fundamental, he could do it forever. And, I think the only other power forward I can think of in this era that might even be close to him is Dirk. That's about it. That's the only other guy I can think of. But I do have one thing to say on this, though. I appreciate the Spurs for retiring Tim Duncan's number, but I'm looking in Los Angeles right now, and I'm wondering, why is Kobe Bryant's number not retired right now? they both retired basically at the same time. Kobe Bryant brought 5 championships to L.A. They said he couldn't win without Shaq. He won 2 of them without Shaq, and he's done everything for L.A. I don't understand.
Of course, L.A. is going to retire his number. It's just that they got a lot going on with Kobe. L.A. is a big city.
See, yeah.
They gave Lou Williams the number 23, and the newcomer, what's his name, Brandon Ingram, they gave him 14. They both are one step down from Kobe because, you know, the second digit going down 23, mm-hmm. First digit going down 14, because they gave Brandon Ingram Kobe's locker. So, I mean, they're going to retire his number. They gave him a day of the year, for God's sake. He's a legend in L.A. Best Laker ever to play.
It's being disrespectful, if you ask me, why is Brandon Ingram and Lou Williams even in the same sentence as Kobe Bryant right now? People forget exactly how good Kobe Bryant was.
No, ain't nobody forgot.
I don't think anybody, though. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, do y'all realize how good Kobe Bryant. I think Kobe Bryant had a better career than Tim Duncan, in my opinion, honestly, if you ask me.
Honestly, I don't necessarily agree with that. But one of the things that I would say about Kobe is it's not necessarily that they're taking too short of a time to retire Kobe's number. It's just that San Antonio did Tim Duncan's number so fast. I think it kind of shocked the sports world why Tim Duncan's jersey got retired so fast.
Yeah.
You know, usually you see in the MLB and in other sports, it takes, years, if not,
decades
to get a jersey retired. So we might need to focus on why San Antonio retired Tim Duncan's jersey so fast.
And the answer is to that question for me is I don't know. I personally don't think they should have retired it right now. Yes, Tim Duncan is a future Hall of Famer. He's a guaranteed future Hall of Famer, but – I mean, not even a year after he retired, you're already retiring his number?
Regardless.
Yeah, of course.
Like, both of their numbers are going to get retired. Yeah, it just so happened that San Antonio did it mega fast.
I don't understand why.
We don't know Kobe number going to get retired.
It needs to. If it don't, I will be calling L.A. and asking some questions as to why it's not. Because
maybe Jordan going to get the number retired.
I hope so.
Okay, staying with the NBA, we're going to shift to Golden State. Do you think Klay Thompson should leave?
You've been hearing about it, Carl. I don't think so. For Klay, maybe, because Kevin Durant has come in and he is. I mean, let's not take any away from Kevin Durant. He is putting on a clinical performance in the early part of the season. Klay Thompson has had his shooting struggles. He hasn't been shooting well since KD arrived. But if I'm management in Golden State right now, if I'm a general manager, I'm not looking to trade Klay Thompson. It's your best defender. There's no reason to trade him.
Obviously, for the good of the team, you don't want to trade away Klay Thompson because he's one of your key players. But, I mean, he's been having some shooting struggles. But last season, it got overshadowed because they won 73-9.
Exactly.
They went on like a 20-game slump.
I understand.
But, I mean, everybody else was shooting.
But people are saying he should get traded because they're trying to blame Kevin Durant for Klay Thompson's shooting struggles, and I just necessarily don't agree with that.
The same thing. He said that he's had these shooting struggles before. Some games he's on, some games he's off.
I don't know why this is a conversation right now. I don't even know why this is a rumor. Like, why you don't get rid of your best defender?
No, Okay, it's probably a rumor because Clay is the main one that's been vocal about he's not going to sacrifice anything about KD coming.
Yeah.
Because Steph is talking about, okay, we're going to pass the ball around a lot. Everybody's going to get their shot, so this, that, da-da-da. And Clay's the only one that said, I'm going to make sure I'm going to get mine.
He getting his, but he not making them. I mean, he going to have to do something. But what I don't want to happen, as far as you got to look in the future – okay, we all know Golden State's the favorite to make it to the NBA Finals on the Western Conference side. If you go to the Finals and you meet King James and company, they're not going to have anybody to guard Kyrie Irving. They're not going to have anybody to guard LeBron. They're not going to have anybody to guard Kevin Love, maybe Draymond Green. But that's about it. That's the only other elite defender that they have. Yep. I wouldn't do it.
Like I said, for the Warriors,
I wouldn't do it, Carl. I wouldn't do it.
But if you're Klay Thompson, it doesn't matter where you go because you're an elite player.
You're right, but this is management talking about trading them, not Klay. Klay doesn't really care as far as I'm concerned.
Talk about the trade rumors.
He shot them down. Him and Steve Kerr both have shot those rumors down. So if I am management in Golden State, I am not looking to do that. No, I am trying to keep him in California.
If he want to get a paycheck, then I mean, come on now.
I don't know. I need to hear him say something, but I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. That's not good.
He can get a ring and with the Warriors, but I mean,
honestly,
if he want to get a shine on it, he can go anywhere.
Well, honestly, Kevin Durant shouldn't even be over there right now. That was weak by him. He should have stayed in OKC and made the league balance, but. That's a whole nother conversation. I'm still disgusted with KD for even going over there to begin with. Weak-minded. Oh, my goodness. Can we continue, Becca, please?
Let's move on to some football.
Please.
Time for football. The college football rankings came out last night. Pretty shocking.
Yeah, I would say so. I think we're all kind of speechless, honestly, when it came out.
But I'm looking at these rankings right now. Alabama, okay, fine. Yeah. They haven't.
I agree.
Kudos up to
sure.
them.
Absolutely.
Ohio State.
I'm just glad they're right there. That's all I can say.
Who?
Ohio State.
Okay, let's look at this.
I'm not even saying the way they've been playing. I'm saying
Ohio State, Clemson, and Michigan are the other three teams. All of them have one loss. Ohio State, okay, you lost to Penn State. Okay, you still in the top four.
Right.
But. Clemson and Michigan, I don't agree with this, Sheldon. I don't agree with it.
Here's one thing that I'll say about this year's college football season. Okay, number 2, 3, and 4, they lost last week. First time since, 1978 or something like that? Three of the top four teams have lost in the same week in the regular season. Okay, one of the things that I'll say, though, this college football season could possibly have been the most absolute crazy college football season ever in the history of college football since it started, except for one thing, the University of Alabama. They are gonna steamroll through everyone over the entire season. They're going to make it to the playoff. They're going to play two really boring games where they win 21-7 and 14-10. And end up winning the national championship.
You think they're that much better than everybody else?
I do. I really do. And it's just because of their style of play. The college football game has transformed into this new kind of hybrid of lots of speed, high tempo plays, no huddles, get the play from the sideline, right? Alabama is still traditional. They'll run it down your throat. It'll take them 8 minutes to run an entire drive down the field.
I think the only team that can maybe even touch Alabama is Michigan. But I don't know why Michigan is in the top four right now.
I don't understand.
You got Clemson and Michigan. Both of them lost to unranked teams. Both of them are 6-4. Why are they in the top four right now? Please explain.
It could possibly be. The only thing that I can think of, honestly, in my opinion, is that other teams, including Louisville, Washington, possibly even Wisconsin, Penn State, and Oklahoma, their schedules just aren't that strong. They're just not as strong as a Michigan schedule or a Clemson schedule.
And I understand where you're coming from.
And you have to remember, Clemson's beat some good teams this year.
Yeah, you're right.
Early in the year, they beat some pretty good teams.
I will say this. It's not necessarily Clemson. Michigan is the one that's really blowing my mind. For one, the Big Ten is not as good as it has been in the past. Michigan loses to Iowa off of a field goal, I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Iowa's not that good. No. You shouldn't be losing to Iowa. No. And you have number 5 in Louisville, who's still not in the top 4 in the college football playoff rankings, and their only loss is to a Clemson team that's in
right.
the top 4.
Exactly.
How are you not in the top? I don't understand.
Maybe
I think it's the name, honestly.
Maybe it's just a quick pick list on, like, win shares.
College football playoff rankings are killing me. They really are.
And I just think that sometimes that college football ranking – committee, just I really think that it's a name thing.
It really is.
Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Oh my goodness! You know, even though they lost the game, they're still good. But honestly, to us, I really don't think that matters to us that much.
Money's gonna roll in either way it goes.
Exactly.
Alabama, I just don't. I don't see anybody.
Well, notice how we haven't talked anything about Alabama
because they're just that good.
They're just a
machine.
They have no negatives to their team.
No.
I mean, they have stud athletes, best athletes on any team in the country, hands down, no doubt about it. Their scheme, I mean, Nick Saban knows exactly what he's doing. He's been doing it for years. And I will say, the only team that I really had hope would beat them, as much as I hate to say it because I'm not a fan of these guys, but it was LSU. They play the exact same.
And I watched that game, Sheldon, and I'm looking at them trying to run the football at Alabama, and they could not do it. Leonard Fournette did absolutely nothing.
In my opinion, probably the best halfback in college football.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
The dude's an animal. But, I mean, even against the stout, I mean, Alabama.
I think the only people that are going to have a chance to beat Alabama, if you look at it in the past, only teams that Alabama has struggled with are guys that open up the offense and make them play and make them cover people
out
of the spread.
Alabama, when they get behind, is when they start freaking out.
Yeah.
Whenever they get behind, they have to do it in clutch situations. They have to start passing the ball. Notice how Alabama doesn't have top-notch quarterbacks that come in every year.
No.
You know? Because, I mean, what quarterback wants to come out of high school and go to, you know, a school where you run the ball 70, 80 times in a game?
Exactly.
So, they take care of their running game.
Exactly, they do. So, I mean, a good quarterback, I mean, you don't want to go to Alabama as a quarterback. You know, you're bored half to death when you go there. Because, I mean, you just hand the ball off every play.
You're right. And I'm looking at this list. I'm looking at this list of the top 4 teams. And the only team I even see having a chance at beating them is Clemson, just because they run spread offense. But I'm looking at these scores of the people that they played, and they have been struggling with teams that are not that good. Troy, they only beat 24-30. They only beat Louisville 36-42. I mean, North Carolina State, they only beat them by a touchdown. Like, I just don't see Alabama. You're right. I don't see Alabama losing to anybody when it's all said and done.
And I will say, on a positive note, last year we thought the same thing when they played Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Look what Ohio State did to them.
Exactly.
But then again, think about it. Urban Meyer is a coach at Ohio State. He was at Florida and played Nick Saban for years before he went over to Ohio State. So I'm sure Urban Meyer has that plan to beat him. But, you know, at the same time, I think Alabama's a better football team this year. I think they're more experienced. Besides their freshman quarterback, but I think he's doing.
I think we can all agree that Alabama is the only team in this top 4 that is non-controversial.
Well, that
everybody else
that has earned their spot.
Yeah, and everybody else, I'm very disappointed in the college football playoff rankings right now. I really am. Michigan had no business losing to a 6-4 Iowa team. Clemson had no business losing to a 6-4 Pitt team. I just do not understand why they're still in the top 4. That's all I have to say on that.
Transitioning to some hometown football, the 90th Battle of the Ravine was last Saturday. The Tigers pulled a 30-27 win against the Reddies. Shelton, you played in that game and had a punt that was fielded at the 2-yard line.
I had a couple punts. Thank you.
They walked me through what happened, Shelton. I wasn't at the game, so I don't know exactly what happened.
It's always exciting, you know, the Battle of the Ravine, you know, everybody's coming. There's 15,000 people there. I mean, I don't know how many there was. Just over 10,000.
And it's over the population of Arkadelphia. What's the population of Arkadelphia? 10,000, over 10,000, something like that?
Well,
yeah.
And it was a good game, and I'll say that the team that usually wins the Battle of the Ravine is a team that wins third down conversion rate and the turnover ratio. And we won both of those and came out with a win. We went 11-19 on third down, which is just over our average. I think it's just over 60%. And our turnover ratio was +2. And that shows when that shows in the score.
Yeah.
The score was 30,
I'll go out on a limb and even say this. I commend y'all and Coach Knight for being able to face adversity. Y'all have been facing injury problems all year long.
It's been rough.
And
it's
I'll be honest, I didn't know how that was going to work out against Henderson, because I knew Henderson was talented. I knew that they had
a last week. We didn't know which way it was going.
Yeah, I had no idea, because I mean, y'all aren't at full strength. I just didn't know how that would turn out. But kudos to y'all.
Here's what I say about that. Earlier in the year, Warford goes down, Pope goes down. You know, we have to bring in some second team guys. Okay, mm-hmm. But by week 10. Those guys aren't second stringers anymore.
They're
practically veterans. You know, they played in the big games. They played through that adversity. They've gotten all that experience. In all reality, they're no longer second team players. That's basically, if you think about it, that's halfway through their first season. They're not second team players.
Talk about Thomas and how he comes in replacing a KO, and I mean, wasn't even supposed to play. He's supposed to be a redshirt, and he comes in just steamrolling.
I will say, though, and that happens a lot when you have a player that comes in that's got something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And KO did the same thing his freshman year. He never got on the field his freshman year, but I will say in practice, you just saw that he had a fire under him.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, I got to beat that guy in front. I got to be better. I want to be as good as him, right? And so I think that tends to happen a lot with younger guys that have that guy in front of them, because you have to realize that whenever you're in high school, you're the hot shot. You know, you're the big guy on campus or at your school. You play every Friday. You are the man of that team. And sometimes when you go to college, you know, you're just average. You know, you're not that big hot. You're not that big starter every
Everybody's week. Just as talented as you are.
Exactly. So you go into that mindset of, man, well, some players take it different. Some players are like, oh, well, you know, I'm not getting to play anymore. You know, this sucks. I don't want to do anything. And then some players are like, hey, I got to get better. I got to get better so I can play, and I want to play. So, and I think that's a little bit of what Thomas was thinking this year. You know, he didn't know if he was going to have a chance or not, and then KO picks up some nicks and knacks and then eventually goes down for good, and he was ready. And I think we're all really proud of him for that, and he really showed out.
It was a good positive way to end the season, for
right,
sure.
It was.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall walking around in the booth saying that he wasn't supposed to play for the rest of the year, yet he got up there.
Exactly.
Yeah, he did.
Exactly.
A little pop out there, okay.
Now for some NFL action. Cowboys continuing to ride with the hot hand with Dak Prescott. Tony Romo will be back, but he's not starting. Rightfully so or not?
Rightfully so.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
No one can come up to me and say, nope, I still think that Tony Romo is Dallas' guy.
Dak,
no one in their right mind would come up to me and say
Dak, the combination of Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and that massive, dominant offensive line is saying Super Bowl champions, in my opinion, right now. I'm gonna say it. They're not stopping. Nobody's gonna beat them. Everybody's like, oh yeah, Seattle. Seattle's still the team. They gotta beat. No, I don't want to hear all that. I don't see the Cowboys losing, and I don't need Jerry Jones messing up any of that, putting Tony Romo back in at quarterback. There's no need.
I mean, now that Tony's made that speech saying that Dak's earned his fight in the starting lineup, I mean, I'm pretty sure
unnecessary.
Dak's gonna stay for the rest of the he's gonna stay for the rest of the season.
It was unnecessary, if you ask me.
Well, are you talking about the speech?
Yeah. Why?
You know what? And I'll say this. You know, it was a very heartwarming speech. If you're a 7-year-old kid that's mm-hmm. watching TV, you think, oh my goodness, Tony Romo, he's my role model. You know, he's taking this with so much, you know, respect for Dak Prescott and having so much will for a team and selflessness. And in my opinion, it was a sympathy speech.
I think
he wants people to look at him and go, oh, Tony Romo is still a good guy. Maybe he doesn't need a chance in Dallas, but he can get a chance somewhere else.
I will say this. Tony Romo has had his chance. He's been the starting quarterback for Dallas for the past 10 years. He's never won 8 straight like Dak Prescott has.
Never.
He's only won 2 playoff games in the whole time that he's been here. I don't understand why this is even an issue right now. Why are we even talking about this? Shouldn't be a discussion.
You know, you don't hear of other quarterbacks that get beat out of the job.
No.
And they have to go give a speech saying, oh, he's our guy.
And not only that, it's Tony Romo. Tony Romo has done nothing for Dallas.
How old is Tony Romo now?
Is he 34?
Is he in his 50s? I don't know. the dude is ancient, all right? The dude needs to go ahead and go ahead and face the fact that he is not the best quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys
not that often that you get ran off the starting lineup by a rookie.
An injury helped Dak Prescott get his foot in the door. I mean, you know, with his vertebrae stuff, Tony Romo went down for a couple weeks. But by the time he was healthy, there was really no point in putting him in.
It's not like we're saying Dak Prescott just came in and, you know, took Tony Romo's job. He went down.
He just got the opening.
And Dak comes in and he's balling.
I will say, if Dak came in week 1 and just like and basically just got a shot randomly.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't agree with that. I wouldn't. Okay, I think yeah. Tony Romo is the veteran. He should get the chance, right? But I don't agree with all this coming out and saying, "Oh, well, I guess he's earned it."
Tony Romo,
he's earned it. It's common sense.
He's never won eight straight. He's never won eight straight since he's in the 10 years he's been quarterbacking for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know why this is even a discussion right now.
Any Dallas Cowboy fan that has had as much hope if they had this year of going all the way, like you, Marcellus, that thinks they're going to win the whole thing.
Dude,
I don't think Ezekiel
Elliott. Is a stud.
He is.
Dak Prescott is a stud.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean,
the thing that makes Dallas dangerous is teams might lock onto the run. They might shut down Ezekiel Elliott, but that leaves great opportunity for Beasley, Dez Bryant,
Terrence Williams, Jason Witten, who moves like a freaking molasses, but he still somehow gets catches. I don't know how.
I don't either, but I will say Dallas is dangerous. Are they Super Bowl worthy? Maybe, maybe not. I don't necessarily think so yet, but they're dangerous.
Super Bowl with it. That's just making it there. It was when he said that they were gonna win it all. I didn't want to put that on them right now.
Right.
But I mean, just getting there.
They definitely have a chance. The only team in the NFC that I see even having a chance playing with the Dallas Cowboys right now is Seattle. And Seattle's defense is looking pretty suspect, if you ask me.
I think
they might get exposed.
Hey, watch out for Oakland and Derek Carr. They're good.
I didn't think, yeah. I can go with you on that.
A lot of people just from tradition are sleeping on the Raiders right now just because they've been so bad the past,
forever.
Since the 20s. But I will say that they're good this year.
Jack Del Rio came over there and turned that team around.
Derek Carr is on fire right now.
I agree, but... You think they can stay as consistent as Dallas right now?
You know, it's hard to tell right now because the Raiders have never been consistent.
Exactly.
So until they prove to us that they are not the Raiders, they will always be the Raiders.
Yeah.
But I will say that they are good this year. They got a lot going on for them. Derek Carr has put on a couple of really good performances in a row. So
I hope they don't stink up the joint like Carolina did. How do you go from winning, going 15-1 in the regular season, making it to the Super Bowl? And what if they won three games this year? That's it? That is unbelievable.
You know, and I think that's a bunch of bullcrap, how Cam Newton is just going to go ahead and blame it on everybody else.
But himself.
He shouldn't be pointing the finger at himself.
Exactly.
And it's all because I think he's just turned into this pouty baby that's not winning.
And I'm going to say this. He's turned into a crybaby. And, yes, it's Cam Newton's fault. But that offensive line is not blocking for him. But I think that goes back to him being like the way he is.
Last year... Did they really block for him that well either? They had to have blocked a little bit better.
They did, but in the Super Bowl, they got exposed.
Exactly.
Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware put them
exactly.
got it. They exposed
them,
boys.
Once they were exposed by Von Miller and the defensive line for Denver, I think teams started jumping
and
on board.
They picked up on, like, what are these guys doing?
Exactly.
And Cam Newton's been getting sacked almost at least three times
exactly
a game this year.
Ray Lewis said, treat him like a running back.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I'm just so disappointed with about Cam Newton is just, you know, he's never had to face anything like this in his entire career of football. You know, in JUCO, he went, you know, won two national championships and then goes to Auburn and wins a national championship. You know, gets in the league and has had great success his first couple of years, and then he gets to this season and just wants to start pointing fingers.
My thing with Cam Newton is he just needs to, like, it's time for you to be a man.
Exactly.
Like, be a man.
Exactly.
You look at Peyton Manning and when he lost in the Super Bowl to Seattle, y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah.
43-6, was it, or something like that? I mean, if you watch that interview of Peyton Manning, he handled himself, he answered all the questions.
Didn't point any fingers,
he just said we got outplayed. Cam Newton needs to grow up and learn some responsibility.
You know,
he's still acting like a child in my opinion.
And honestly, he's lost so much respect from me.
You know,
I didn't have a whole lot for him because, you know, it feels like he's been just giving everything going up, you know, and I can't talk too bad about him because I don't know him that personally, but just seeing this season, seeing him get exposed through all this adversity and how he's handled it the way he is, very disappointed.
Yeah, I'm finna say it's just too much all at once, going from super cam to I don't feel safe anymore.
Right.
Exactly. But I'm telling y'all, Cowboys are dangerous. I don't see them slowing down anytime soon. Tony Romo had no business even saying anything. Nobody cares. We know you're getting outplayed right now. As simple as that.
It's just a PR.
Romo, take a back seat, my friend. You're done. Dak Prescott is the man now.
Support.
Let him be.
He's a Pro Bowl bench warmer.
Exactly. And that's it.
We're going to wrap up the show for tonight. Thank y'all for joining our second episode of Becca and the Boys. And thank you, Shelton, for being part of our show. We enjoyed
really do appreciate having you, Shelton.
Hey, invite me back, guys. This was fun.
Yes, stay tuned, guys. We'll be back next week.
All right.